Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already moved.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, welcome back to Declare Your Independence, where my eyes have not gotten any better. Oh, they're really bad. Whoa. But that's all right. You know, I take my medicine. You know, I'm going to take my medicine. Wait a minute. Oh, then that'll be better. I'm going to wear sunglasses today because I'm cool. Well, you know, this is just, you know, and then I put my sunglasses on, you know, and then, oh, my Lovolution glasses. Well, you know, we got a lot of stuff to go on today. What we're going to do today on Declare Your Independence here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com, is we're going to make sure that there is a understanding of zeitgeist. Now, I've had people on before about this, and we've talked about it, and I'm doing my best. I'm trying to understand, trying to see where this is going and so on. Now, there's a third movie out. Now, there was Zeitgeist, the movie. Then there was Zeitgeist Expanded More Next, whatever it was called. And now it's Zeitgeist, the we got the representative from Charlene B. Now, she is the global release coordinator for Zeitgeist Moving Forward is the name of the third one. Now, there's a lot of questions that I have, and I've had people from all over the country and here locally to talk to us about Zeitgeist because I thought it was very well done. The production quality was great. I think a lot of the information in there was very intriguing and truthful. Well, you know, you get that out of it. But my concern is that here you have a detailed description of what the problems are. You go, yep, I agree, problem. That's problem. Yeah, that too, and that, and that, and the solution is what? That's where it kind of gets fuzzy. and I'm trying to get a bead on who is behind doing what. Now, I'm going to ask Charlene B, and we just got her last initial here. Now, Charlene, you got to help me out. I got you there?
Yes, hello, Ernest.
Okay, now, do you understand my question? Let's go ahead and talk about Zeitgeist, the first two, and then we'll talk about the global release, because you're having hundreds, you know, 300-400 locations around the world in several languages. This is being distributed all over the world. And I'm sure there's a reason for doing that. But let's go ahead and start with the Zeitgeist movement to begin with. Give me a quickie on that one.
Well, first of all, in regards to your question about the film series, yes, this is the third of three. The first one, Zeitgeist, was a personal expression of themes Peter was exploring himself. This was prior to the Zeitgeist movement being formed. Then he found out about the Venus Project in between Zeitgeist 1 and Addendum, which was the second one. And so the second movie, after massive response from people, seen the first movie, it was the most watched internet documentary in history, with after we lost count out after 100 million, because there's no way to track from one site at that point. But there was an enormous response to Peter on, well, what are we supposed to do? So that's when Peter came up with Zeitgeist Addendum after being introduced to the Venus Project, which is the work, lifelong work of industrial engineer Jacques Fresco of the Venus Project. And that is the template for this kind of transition. And then the third movie, Zeitgeist Moving Forward, is a continuation of laying down the case for why we need to switch to a resource-based economy. So at the end of Zeitgeist Addendum, the second movie, Peter put out a call for if you would like to be a part of this social transformation to join the Zeitgeist movement. And that's when the movement began. So in about a year and a half, the movement's grown to 500,000 people around the world. And when Peter, the previous two were released directly online to the public, but with the third movie, he decided to give the Zeitgeist Movement chapters an opportunity to do some fundraising in their areas. So he did the largest independent distribution, and we totaled at 338 screenings around the world currently. There's actually been new screenings coming in based on the response and popularity in countries in Europe and South America especially, and many of them having to move on to a larger venue. So our count continues. However, it's just through January 25th, which is our premiere screening period, at which point January 25th, the film goes up online, available for free to download and view, just like the other two. But this was a special premiere period so that we could actually get it in theaters around the world and give the chapters a chance to fundraise, as I mentioned. So it's been a wild success.
Okay. All right. You generated a whole bunch of questions for me. All right. Here we go.
Okay.
Now, you called it the Venus Project. Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. So we had Zeitgeist, was kind of, you know, this gentleman's view of the planet, and he wanted to express himself, and he did. And he did it so well that the Venus Project goes, hey, man, we want to hook up with y'all. You know, we see the power of this movie. It has an enormous number of eyes that have watched it. We want to be able to work together in bringing together a movement that can fill in the blank where that is. We'll find out. Now, the Venus Project, you know, tell me about that. How long had that been around before?
Well, Jacques Fresco has been working on these concepts since the 70s. There's a famous Larry King interview available on YouTube and the Venus Project website, as well as the Zeitgeist Movement site, of him on Larry King describing these concepts back then. Of course, Jacques is way ahead of his time to foresee these problems, but basically it is where we look at the Earth's resources, which no one can deny that we all need, clean air, water, energy, and using that as our barometer for all of our decisions, rather than the way we've structured our society right now, which is through the monetary system.
Okay, so
that's
it
the
is
basic.
Okay, so I appreciate you coming on and spending time with me, because I've interviewed a lot of people that are part of the movement. They've been inspired. They're young. They have a lot of different perspectives how they're supportive of this, because they're either social engineering, you know, architecture. They're you know, just activists. They're dissatisfied with what's going on now, and they see something that kind of, you know, expresses how they're feeling and so on. And then they're looking for a solution. And when I talk to them or interview them at various levels in the movement, none of them really have a grasp on what the goal is. And I'm getting the impression that you have a little bit more information. So I'm excited about this conversation. Because if you didn't know already, I'm a hardcore, no compromise libertarian from back in the day. You know, I'm all about everybody gets to do whatever the heck you want to go be free in your way and, you know, knock yourself out. So my thing is that from the inspiration of Zeitgeist, I saw, you know, it was a creative movie, and it was very clear in dispelling some myths and giving some truth to some subjects that otherwise would not have been made. So I'm all hip about that. The problem is that I go, all right, we have an agreement that we have these problems. We have an agreement that there are solutions that are probably better than whatever the collective here in Washington is offering. We should have the freedom to be able to choose those as individuals. The problem is that in the Zeitgeist movement, or I guess the Venus Project, there's already a plan that's there for us. There's something that you want to do. And we're kind of running short on time. We got about a minute here. When we come back, I'm going to give you an opportunity to express that to us. There is a solution. And you've touched on it a little bit about resource allocation. So when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my special guest, they're describing Zeitgeist, okay? The next one, moving forward, Charlene B. She's doing a good job of giving us some history on this, and she's going to describe for us what the solution is in the minds of the leaders of this movement. Now, does this movement have leaders? Well, we'll talk about that too. And who are they? We're going to talk about that too. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit. You stay right there.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Don't stop me now. I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball. Don't stop me now.
Yeah, I'm going to get me some funky sunglasses. You know, clean up my eyes a little bit. You know, it started with just my left eye and had a, you know, go get me a patch. But then it just went to both eyes, man. Dang. You know, so those on video on YouTube, this is why I am wearing sunglasses. So you don't have to look at my resident evil eye for the man. You know, we have on Charlene B. She's the global release coordinator of Zeitgeist Moving Forward, the third movie. It's Zeitgeist, Zeitgeist. MovingForward.com, ZeitgeistMovingForward.com. Now, when we've done shows before, I looked up, what the heck is Zeitgeist? Zeitgeist, and she'll correct me if I'm wrong, but it's a German word that means a paradigm shift. It's kind of like a change in the way of thinking. Well, I'm certain that it certainly has that effect, and a lot of people are starting to question a lot of traditional myths and rhetoric that you would get from the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, and it gives you an opportunity to inject your own truths. Well, I want to know what that is. So, Charlene, go ahead and help me out. What is it that define for me this resource-based economy that you're talking about?
Okay, well, first of all, I wanted to clarify the actual term Zeitgeist means the intellectual and spiritual mood of our time. Now, let's hope that the paradigm shifts, like you said, but it doesn't necessarily mean it is. It's just describing what's in the zeitgeist, what's the atmosphere of our times in the culture.
Got it.
So, and basically a resource-based economy is using the Earth's resources as our life ground for making all decisions. In an intelligent society, that would be obvious. But somehow along the way with the monetary system, we don't use the resources as our life ground. We use the monetary system.
No, we use
debt.
Is
there a profit? Yeah, debt, exactly. Money is an artificial contrivance. So basically, the best way to explain this is, if a giant meteor were to be coming towards the Earth and would destroy the planet, no one would ask if we have enough money to fix this or defend ourselves. No one would ask or care about racial divide, social stratification, religion. All that would matter then is that we harness the highest technology that we have to save our species and our planet. Well, that's what's happening. If you look at all systems, life support systems on the Earth right now, they're all in a decline. Every single one. You've probably heard the reports coming in around the world from hundreds up to thousands of birds and fish dying on beaches, dropping from the sky, even crabfish. There's been so many, I mean, this is just the most recent example, and I know a lot of that has to do with military exercises and other things, but the point is we are destroying our environment all around us. And so all the Zeitgeist movement is advocating is what the Venus Project has proposed for years, is that let's take our Earth's resources that we all need, and we'll all die if we don't preserve these, and use them, the carrying capacity of the Earth. Let's use that as our model.
Okay.
For living.
This is, let me go ahead and express my view on this so that we can make sure that we're talking to each other, not kind of past, okay? So I want to get a definition of that. This is where it gets interesting in the conversation for me with someone that would advocate what you're talking about. I agree. We have problems, and it's what is the best method or mechanism by which these problems would be solved? So I'm going, you know, to me, it's always freedom's the answer. What's the question? And to think that, you know, the monetary system that is being used to allocate funds the way they are now, it's not really a free market. You know, it's a monopoly on currency. You know, you have legal tender laws. You have this fiat currency. You have debt. You have bankers that control Congress. Heck, you even have a Congress. You know, all of this. Yeah, I apologize. I'm sick. All of this information that you're talking about, I agree. We have a problem. The real solution, when you have, it's like a Rahm Emanuel thing. You know, it's like you never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, I'm going, all right, well, I don't want to bring in a solution that's worse than the problem. So I'm going, all right, so we need to analyze what kind of solution are we going to have. So when you're talking about we need to, the first thing I got to ask is, who's we? How do they decide it? And what force are you going to use on other people that choose to do something else? And who decides what it is that is to be done? Is it a majority? Is it democratic? Is it rule from on high? Is it, I mean, so, you know, a lot of times I remember during the 90s in 92 when Hagelin from the Natural Law Party was running for president. And I got to know these guys well and so on. And, of course, that was their mindset, was that, look, scientific minds, smart minds can solve these problems. We just need to use the force of collective government to make everybody do what we know should be done. And I'm going, well, heck, that's what they're claiming now. So I'm just, you know, so I, with that understanding from my perspective, I ask you this question. Who's we? How do you make these decisions? And who has the ultimate authority? I'm looking for the individual. Who are you looking for?
Okay. Well, first I want to say freedom is my core value as well, but we have to define what freedom is. When you're talking about freedom compared to Saudi Arabia, sure, we've got a lot more freedoms here. But when you're talking freedom, are we voting for war here? Are we voting for what the tax money is being used for?
No, define freedom. No, let's go ahead and define freedom. You started on that track. Let's go ahead and define freedom.
Okay. What I'm saying is, how free are we really here?
No,
are
define really freedom. Let's go ahead and let's get our terms straight first, or we won't even know what each other's
okay,
saying.
Well, why don't you define what you mean by freedom?
I just want to be left alone.
Okay, but does that include that? Are you able to decide on what your tax money is being used for, or if you think the United States foreign policy is correct in what we're doing around the world?
No, if they got a 45 to my head, taking my money from me and spending it on whatever the heck they want, that's not leaving me alone.
Right. Okay, so, I mean, there's relative freedom. It just depends on where
you're. No, see, it's not relative. Either you are or you're not. See, this is the situation that I have when I talk to a lot of people, because I spend a lot of time with progressives on a libertarian show because it helps us make our point. In fact, years I was on the Air America affiliate here in Phoenix as our token libertarian. So I understand the left's perspective, and I have this debate calmly, and we just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. Because when you talk about, you know, what it is, does it mean to be free? And I'm going, well, I just want to be left alone. Well, no, we need to use government force to take from you to do this thing that we know better to do. And I'm going, how is that any different from the neocons? How is that any different from, you know, the Republican or Democratic parties in charge now? How's that any different from another, you know, the Soviet Union or another country? If you're going to use collective force to take that which is mine to redistribute or spend how you want, there isn't a difference. That's my point. So I'm just wondering, how is it that we're going to make these decisions that you're talking about? If it's going to be at the threat of force or force, then, you know, you're just in line with the other bad guys.
Well, that's the typical mentality that we have here in a very individualistic society. And I understand what you're saying. It isn't about losing freedom. It's actually about everyone being able to preserve the common resources that we need.
Okay, well, let's go. We'll talk about it more when we come back. I think we're starting to understand each other, and that way we can get, you know, use the right words, and we're using the same definitions to get to a solution, because that's what I want. We know the truth. We're going to try and find out what it is. We'll be right back.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. You know, just before the show, I apologize, my voice is shot, I got a call from Senator Karen Johnson telling me that years ago, about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, senior editor of Freedoms Phoenix, Pal Gamel, and I helped her write legislation that provided for our commemorative, our centennials coming up next year. And we knew that we wanted to get gold, silver, copper into minting for the state. And the best way to do that, we go, we'll make a commemorative coin that will be minted 99.99999 whatever percent gold. It will be Arizona will be designed this way and so on, and minted in sufficient quantity to supply all public demand. Now, they passed this. There was only one vote against it out of 90 legislators, one. And it just so happened it was a legislator that knew that Pal and I wrote it because it's libertarians. They just know we're getting set up. I just know it. So what happened was this passed. She got a call yesterday from the Secretary of State's office saying that, look, we're getting ready to do this. We want to, you know, talk to you about, you know, getting the law changed and your support of whatever, because we can't afford to buy the gold. Now, of course, they'll sell the gold, you know, as they get it. But they're like, well, would you be supportive if we did it in silver and copper or something? So we're just going, look, man, we knew that if we were able as a state, you want to talk about having your own currency? You just mint it. It's 1 ounce. It says up to 1 ounce. So it could be, you know, various tenth of ounces. You could mint any whatever you wanted, but in quantity sufficient to supply all public demand. That was the key. And they kept trying to take it out of there at Legislative Council. But we're going to talk about it in the second hour, right after we have Bob Templeton, the owner of Crossroads of the West Gun Show. He had a big gun show here in Phoenix. And we're going to be introducing the walletvoting.com concept there. Walletvoting.com. You go to the top of Freedoms Phoenix right now and watch the video that 4409 did. Fantastic. Gives a good explanation of what we're doing and why. These are our solutions. Now, the thing is that we have other people that have other solutions that they would like to share or even impose. If that is going to be the case, we need to know how that would happen. Is it in the structure of government that we have now? Would it be changed? Would you eliminate this government and just go to states? Would you go to a global government? How would these decisions be made? Well, we have on Charlene B. She is the global release coordinator for Zeitgeist Moving Forward, the third installment of the Zeitgeist movies. Now, I want to ask you, Charlene, go ahead and help me understand if we, you know, pick a problem, you know, anything, you know, the quality of the air, the water, healthcare, whatever it is. How do we arrive at a solution? And are we doing a solution for the country, a group, a club, or the individual? I mean, what is our goal and how are we going to address it?
Okay. I'll try and say this as simple as possible.
Please.
Is the Venus Project plan is, first of all, to declare that all of the Earth's resources the common heritage of all people. Is it fair to say that the air doesn't know boundaries? The water doesn't know borders. So we're in this together. Nature is joined, and we all need it to survive as a species. So we're saying the most intelligent way to structure our society globally is that we take into account the Earth's resources. So that would begin with, it's not about politicians. It's not about centralized control. It's about doing a survey and audit of all of the Earth's resources. Where do we stand with energy? Where do we stand with our water supply, with our soil erosion, and have all of that input to a giant database, which right now we have the technology to do. Most people are not aware of the current state of technology, what we're really able to do, because if there's not a profit to be made in it, it's not going to be done. So we have to keep remembering that we're not at the highest level of technology we should be operating on the Earth right now because of the profit motive.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go right there. Okay, we have the, you know, IBM, man, we're connecting the world, man. We got it going on. And I'm going, okay, you know, let's assume that they do. who's going to be on this committee or group, and what's the goal? And, you know, because I can see this is going to be politicized like crazy.
Well, see, that's where the confusion lies. It isn't about human opinion or power or ego.
Oh, yeah, it is.
human beings can play that out. But in terms of the process, it's just scientific. It's just a measuring of the Earth's resources. And then by using our highest state of technology, and when you take the profit motive out, people think a lot differently of it. We could be using geothermal right now. We could be using wind, but there isn't the market share because there isn't a profit in it right now. It doesn't mean that we don't have the technology for that. So a good example Peter always uses, if right now all of the banks were bulldozed and Wall Street, it wouldn't make a damn bit of difference for the same amount of resources we have on the planet, the same amount of intelligence and technology and science. That wouldn't change.
I think it would get better.
The monetary system is an artificial contrivance, and we're making decisions based on that rather than the carrying capacity of the Earth.
Okay, let me go ahead and we got a really good example. Let's go ahead and talk about climate change, you know, what used to be global warming, and they got to kind of, you know, throw that in the dustbin because it keeps getting colder. Now, a year ago when Al Gore came here to Phoenix.
Which is, by the way, part of the destabilization. The fact that it's getting colder some places but hotter others, like Russia, is part of a weather destabilization pattern we're seeing.
This is my point. When he came, they were making signs. And they asked me, they go, Ernie, well, what do you think a sign should be? And I go, I just ask one question. Put a sign that says, what happens when it gets cold? Then what? You know, I mean, how do you argue? Oh, well, that's part of global warming. Is it getting cold in some areas? Or we're going to change it to climate change as opposed to warming. And I remember in the 70s when I was going in school, we were going into an ice age. Well, nobody ever wants to address the fact that it might have something to do with the cycles of the sun. But the point is that these, to say that we're going to have some kind of a definitive, objective accumulation of data that's not going to be politicized, all I have to do is think over the last few years of what's happened with the global warming issue. You know, here in Tucson at the University of Arizona is where a lot of the WikiLeaks came out on all the cables that they were kind of making this up as they were going along. It's not that I'm saying that it's not happening or even what is causing it. It's that I do not trust collectives and people that give themselves some kind of a elite badge for them to make a decision that's not in what they perceive to be in their or in the collective's best interest, because they never take into account the rights of the individual. You're right. It's always a species thing. It's always and for the greater good of the most and all that kind of stuff, and screw the individual. So I'm going, okay, as long as we understand that's where we're at, then you can see where the opposition's going to come from. It's going to come from those that just want to be left alone. No, I don't want to be forced at the point of a gun. That's what it's going to come down to be able to fund whatever it is that you want to do, to comply with whatever it is that you got, that I don't get to have any property rights to what's mine. Because when I talk to people in the Zeitgeist movement, I have to ask, I'm going, okay, am I allowed to own my shirt? Am I allowed to own the loom that made the cloth? Am I allowed to own the property that the loom sits on? I mean, at what point am I not allowed to own property? And who protects it? That's a good question for you.
Okay, well, first of all, am I violating your rights if I'm saying forcing you to have clean air? Is that forcing you to have something? That's a basic human need. So it isn't about imposing an opinion on someone. If you don't eat, you will die.
Well, if you don't need anything from me, you know, property rights is, it works like this. If you are violating my air, I mean, if your water goes through your property onto mine and it's polluted, well, then I have a cause of action when I have property rights. If I don't have property rights, who do I go to? You know, how is it? I got some collective that's going to pinky swear, fix it for me. Now we're getting into the meat of it, and we're starting to understand each other. And I think, you know, the last segment here, we'll have some very interesting conversation. You guys stay right there. We're just starting to get into the meat of it because we both want the same thing. We want clean air. We want clean water. We want to be left alone, I would think. You know, we want to be able to sustain the species. How? We'll talk about it when we come back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. And I have my special guest on is Charlene B. She's Global Release Coordinator for Zeitgeist Moving Forward. And we just started getting into some goodie at the end of the last segment. I'll just start us off with this. Are my rights being violated, or do I even have them? That's a whole nother thing. But, you know, is it a bad idea to force me to have clean air and water and so on? You know, sustainment of the species. I mean, you know, you'd think that would be in the we'd rather category. But, you know, the reason it's not that I'm against that. And Charlene, as I'm looking at what we have now, you know, there are people that want to take care of my air and my water and my food. They're called the EPA and the FDA and the CDC and the State Departments of Environmental Qualities and so on. And then you get into, okay, we want to change the weather patterns or chemtrails. Are they good or bad? And who decides? And, you know, collective problems, collective solutions. And I'm very worried to give the authority to someone, no matter how many shiny badges they have, how many letters after their name, how much education they got, for them to decide what is best for me. And what I really would prefer is a society based on what was the original promise. That's why this show is called Declare Your Independence. Because if you're going to have any kind of a collective force, a monopoly on force, because that's what government is. It is a monopoly. You know, we get to do things that you don't. You know, we're not treated, you know, the same morality code as an individual because we're the government. Okay, we're a collective with a shiny badge and the always available gun because it comes down to force or threat of force. And we're going to do what we have to do too. But the promise was for America, and what made us so powerful so quickly was the promise was the defense of our individual rights against aggression. But it's got to the point to where, which was inevitable, is that the entity that was supposed to protect me against aggression has become the aggressor. In every sense of the word. So I'm going, okay, so I understand we can agree on what the problem is, but the solution is to have an entity that is subject to vote a majority. I mean, would you, you know, put it to the vote of a majority, and what if they're wrong?
Okay, everything that you just described is assuming you're operating through a political and therefore a monetary system, since politics is money right now.
No, I'm for just leaving me alone. I'm for just leaving me alone, Charlene. Don't mistake me. I'm an anarchist. I'm for just leave me. That's just a promise that they made. I'm for, like, I don't think government ever, no collective ever keeps their promise.
Okay, please be clear that the tenets of the Venus Project have nothing to do with a political decision. It's a scientific decision. Right now, everything that benefits our lives, from a pencil you use to your eyeglasses to a car to this phone that we're using, is technology. It isn't political. Politicians don't know how to solve problems. Technologists do.
But how is that imposed?
We have never used scientists and technology to make a decision about the best scientific, technological way to use energy on our planet.
Okay,
that isn't a political decision.
Then someone says, I don't want to do that. How is it imposed on them?
When the common life ground truth is that we need to preserve our Earth's resources so that we can all live and survive in a quality of life with clean air and clean water, then it isn't a matter of being infringed on your freedom. Even if you have your own little property, you can't sue your way into clean air. It's just not going to happen as long as we're under a property. Look, Ernest, I was involved in many activist movements. I protested the Iraq War. I've been a part of environmental movements. Heck, I worked at Brave New Films, a part of Walmart, the high cost of low price, Iraq for sale, the war profiteers. I've been an activist my entire adult life. And yet none of those movements address the underlying problem, which is the monetary system. So as long as there's a monetary system, we're going to continue to have war. It's too profitable. We're going to continue to have poverty, stratification. We're going to continue to see the pillaging of our earth because there's too much money in it this way. Now, if we have to wait for a biosocial collapse or an economic collapse like you refer to on your ads, well, so be it. And if anyone can come up with a better way that takes the earth's carrying capacity into account using our highest technology. Please, we're not claiming to have the corner on truth here, but I'm telling you, I've been out there in the activist and progressive movement, and there isn't any other movement addressing this. They're all well-intentioned, anti-war, clean air, all of these different groups, but none of them are addressing the underlying cause. Now, when I was asked to come on this show, I was asked to come and talk about the global relief. We've gotten off tangent, and that's fine. I know these have been questions you've had about the movement, and there's definitely many forums for this to be discussed in detail. But since time is short, and we only have a few minutes left, since the reason I was brought on was to discuss the release, I would like to bring up some...
Well, I don't know what they told you, but I definitely was going to talk about this, but I think we understand...
That's no problem, but
I think
like
we understand each other. You are welcome to promote the release of the movie. Please do.
Okay, well, it's not as much promoting as explaining what's really happened here. When I worked at Brave New Films and we released Walmart, it was the first in this kind of pioneering distribution model of going directly to people, bypassing the big Hollywood studios and releasing it directly to the public. Brave New Films did it by selling a DVD for $10 and encouraging people to host screening parties, even in their own homes, in community centers, around their society, community. With this release, the way Peter wanted to do it was to make it available to the Zeitgeist Movement chapters around the world and to go get a theater, a public theater, not a house screening party, and then promote it and go ahead and you know, screen it in their community. Well, we thought it would start with about 30 maybe around the world, and we exploded to 335 theaters in 60 countries and 30 languages alone. The total number of screenings, because many of these theaters had week-long theater runs or multiple screenings, exceeds 1,000 as far as the times the movie was shown total. Some of the really noteworthy examples of this release are Malak, our Palestinian coordinator, is doing a screening on the Al-Daheshi refugee camp in the West Bank. We also have a screening in Singapore, which isn't easy to get a movie into. We have a huge screening in Goa University in India of 2000. These are places that no Hollywood studio could ever get us into. Very remote, and we have a screening in Mongolia. And this is all due to the efforts of the Zeitgeist Movement chapter coordinators, many of them doing it at their own financial risk by renting the theater, not knowing if they would be able to recoup their costs, many of them renting and then giving tickets away for free. So the dedication from the Zeitgeist Movement members has been awe-inspiring to see what they can do. We use the joke of it's the best money can't buy, which is the title of one of Jacques Fresco's books. We also, in Italy, had the arguably the biggest TV celebrity, Paolo Benolis, attend the Rome screening and publicly express his love for the movie. And he's dedicating an entire episode of the most popular show in Italy, 8 million viewers, to a whole segment on the movie and the movement. So the response globally has been a wild success. And the film goes online January 25th. It's available for free to download, to watch online. There's also a physical $5 DVD that Peter sells, which is his only source of income and a very low profit margin because it's beneath commercial rates. Most people sell their DVDs for $15 or...
Charlene, I want to share with you something you may not know. We're far more supportive of individuals doing whatever they want to support this than you think. Here at Freedom's Phoenix Workshop, we have silk screening and printing and a video and radio studio and sign production and all that. And a lot of the Zeitgeist guys come here to use our 311 stack duplicators. We can make between 300 and 500 DVDs an hour. They've come here and they're here probably twice a week. And they make Zeitgeist movies out the rear and distribute them all, and I don't even care. They bring their own CD.
And I wanted to thank you for that because your producer mentioned that to me, and that's awfully generous of you.
It is libertarian to allow people, I don't care if they're neocons, communists, whatever, everybody gets to have their say. That is what we are about. But as these people come, as these movies are going out, you can understand why I would want to understand it. Because if you're successful in getting what you want, you know, it's going to affect me. And I need to understand what it is. Am I going to be supportive or in opposition?
No problem.
Well, thanks for coming on. It was very enlightening, and I'm glad that you were able to express yourself and share information about a movement that is going to have legs. And it's just going to be more and more understood as time goes on, and we will learn more about it here on Declare Your Independence. So thanks to Charlene B., Global Release Coordinator, Zeitgeist Moving Forward. It's Zeitgeist, Z-E-I-T-G-E-I-S-T, movingforward.com. Thank you, Charlene, and we'll be right back.
Thank you, Ernest.
We'll be right back at the top of the hour, and then at the bottom of the next hour, we have Bob Templeton, but I got a lot to share with you right after the news. You guys stay right there.
This is Ernest Hancock. I'm publisher of freedomsphoenix.com and the radio talk show host of Declare Your Independence. Now, I want to give you my personal endorsement of a wealthy U.S. citizen that is predicting that in 2011, we will witness the most important day in America in more than 50 years. He's produced a video for you. It's a real eye-opener, and I want to make sure that you have an opportunity to watch it. www.endofamerica1and7.com. endofamerica17.com. This video has the history of how we got where we are now and where we're going and why. Now, it's a lengthy video. It'll be about 20 minutes, but you need to watch this so you understand what's going to happen to this country and how you can protect your wealth and even benefit financially. Now, you go there. It's free. I want you to watch this video. You need to have this information so that you can survive the economic collapse that's coming to America. It's not if, it's when. That's End of America, the numbers 1and7.com. After you watch it, you'll understand why I endorsed it.